Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind.
Should have done one more sweep of the city.
Now just relax, Bruce. You're gonna love It's a Wonderful Life. It's a great movie.
It's not relentlessly cheerful, is it?
No, it's about how much of a difference one man can make to a city. Sound familiar? Wrong channel. Some kind of Christmas special.
It's a Wonderful Life will not be seen this year. In its place is the following. Joker here. Greetings, Gotham, and Merry Christmas. I hope you're watching Batman. This one's for you.
From Gotham City, the show that nobody wants to see, but everyone will watch. Yes, it's Christmas with the Jokers! And now let's welcome our host, the clown prince of crime, the Joker! Greetings from Gotham City, and welcome to the first annual Christmas with the Joker. Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Have I got a show for you tonight? It's loaded with surprises, mystery guests, and Christmas cheer.
Well, Batman, you were sure right about the Joker. Any leads?
I've accessed Gotham's electrical mainframe, and I'm zeroing in on the power surges to pinpoint the location of Joker's broadcast signal. That's it.
I don't know, Batman. It seems too easy.
It's never easy with the Joker.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg, the Batmobile lost a wheel, and the Joker got away. Well, this apparently is Mark Hamill's favourite episode of his own as the Joker. Of course, he would be the quintessential voice of the Joker in so many of the Batman animated series scenarios, as well, of course, being known for his role as Luke Skywalker in a certain George Lucas-oriented franchise. But let's actually find out what the team have made about them. And we could actually be doing a service for North Carolina here, because Jessica, I know, has had challenges actually accessing the animated Batman series. Not allowed, apparently, in the United States. So clearly, that's one of the challenges when it comes to streaming services in general. Sometimes you can actually be blocked from actually accessing them. And obviously, being a law-abiding citizen, Jessica is not going to actually break the rubrics in terms of that. So, Anna, let's start to Hermione, first and foremost. Is this the first time you've seen the Batman animated series? And if so, what did you make of Christmas with the Joker?
It was the first time I saw the animated series, or this particular version. I thought it was really amazing. I wasn't expecting as much, and I feel a bit bad because I wasn't expecting much, but it was definitely very entertaining. And although it's not necessarily what I would turn on, I did enjoy it and I did appreciate it.
Interesting, of course, directed by Kent Butterworth and written by Eddie Gorodetzky, Sean Catherine Derrick, and Paul Dini, of course. Paul Dini, known for writing much of the Batman animated series and, of course, creating the character of Harley Quinn, amongst others. Anna Coscunnell, from the Romanian perspective, did you manage to see the Joker's Last Christmas or Christmas with the Joker, and did it appeal to yourself?
No, still, my shame, I did not. But I read some reviews and from my friends that actually did watch it and they enjoyed it very much.
Okay.
But I do plan on watching things after Christmas
Well, that
with
makes a
them.
kind of
We're
sense.
gonna
Why
have a
not watch
Zoom.
a Christmas with the Joker scenario after Christmas? It works perfectly well here. Okay, Jessica, I realize you were unable, also like Anna, to actually see this. Did you actually manage to catch Scrooge, which of course Jared and myself reviewed last week?
Yes, that I could find.
And before we find Jared's thoughts on the Batman animated episode, because he does have the DVD, which makes perfect sense, physical media, as opposed to relying purely and simply on streaming, which is always a bit of a challenge, or can be, what did you make of Bill Murray in Scrooged?
It was definitely not, I think it was one of the more interesting what is it called? A Christmas Carol. Oh my goodness.
Adaptations?
Thank you. Yes. One of the best I've seen because it was so different, I think. I like the modern ones. I think they're very interesting. And I mean, Bill Murray's character, he really does a good job at being rotten. And you just can't stand him. I think he's just every horrible corporate boss anyone's ever heard of. And I think that all of the characters worked so well. I was so entertained by the ghosts. They were all so different, and I think that they worked so well together because they were goofy but also really disturbing at the same time. I think the ghost of Christmas Present, how she was kind of a creepy fairy, I thought she was the most interesting one. But I just thought every character was portrayed so well in this, and I had never heard of it before. But I am glad to know that it exists because I thought it was a really great adaptation. And I think the just the whole ending speech was really well done. And I think that this is a role that I now when I think of Bill Murray, I'll think of this movie with him in it. So I'm glad I know it, about it now. So thank you.
Well, of course, Jared was very impressed with Bill Murray in his role as Garfield. We'll come to Jared in a few moments. Jessica, very quickly, whilst we wrap up Scrooge and finally tuck that ribbon in the bow of our review last week of Scrooge, what who was your favourite character, and what mark would you have actually given the text itself?
I think I would have to give, well, my favorite character, I think, is there were so many good characters, but I think it has to be the Ghost of Christmas Present because I was not expecting a fairy and I was not expecting the punch and anything associated with her. She was just so entertaining. She was so funny. So I think she was because she just surprised me so much, she was the best. And I think for a score, I have to give a 9, which is surprising because I thought I wouldn't really like it. But I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
There you go. Fantastic. Okay, let's move back to this current episode of Residents Rewind, which of course is Christmas with the Joker. Jared, your time in the Spatlight, I should say, or the Bat Signal light as opposed to Spotlight, has now arrived. Share with us your thoughts on, depending on your kind of line, this could be episode 38 of season one, it could be episode 2 of season one, it could be all over the place in terms of where we actually position this within the animated canon. But over to you.
Well, Alex, for me, I think this is the sixth or seventh time I've watched this episode because for me, I grew up with the Batman the Animated Series along with the Batman as well. So for this one, I do have to admit the episoding is a bit hard to keep track of, but for this episode, I really did have a fun time. I think going back to it, I noticed there were some things I didn't as a kid. So the one thing I didn't notice was in the beginning of the episode, just before Joker takes off in the tree. The person that Joker waves to. Now, I didn't know who this was originally because, of course, I was a kid, but apparently, because of the way he looks and the design, that's supposed to be Charles Manson. I didn't know that. And apparently, according to Bruce Timm, they've confirmed it. So it was interesting to put him in since it's a kid's show. I wouldn't expect to see him there.
An American serial killer who probably not known for anything other than influencing the Beatles and Helter Skelter, but certainly, yes, you don't normally expect Charles Manson to crop up at Christmas still.
And for me, I think this was the quintessential thing that launched Mark Hamill as the Joker for me, because I've listened to him from the animated series to the Justice League to, of course, the Arkham games. And of course, unfortunately, recently he had announced that he's no longer voicing the Joker anymore because of Kevin Conroy passing away. And for me, I would say this episode for me, I really did enjoy it because it went back into sort of like the chaotic sort of Joker that I really do like. And it's also the one of the lighter side of Batman from the animated series, because later on in the New Adventures and of course in Justice League he gets a bit more darker, but in this one he's a bit more lighter, and especially in the episode before with Man-Bat, I presume because of the episode listing, he actually does make a bit of jokes and crack a little bit of wits. And even when with Robin as well, I thought that okay, it's interesting to see Kevin do a bit more of a lighter impression of Batman. So for me, I really did like the episode. I thought it was really good, and I think it was absolutely funny. And I'll get to the funniest bit because I don't want to spoil that for the favourite moment.
Well, certainly, as you said, Kevin Conroy sadly passed earlier this year. His days of voicing the Batman in the animated series have actually passed. But we did see lots of intertextual links here, most notable of which, of course, is the link with Jimmy Stewart's It's a Wonderful Life, which, of course, Dick Grayson is desperately trying to get Batman or Bruce Wayne to actually see. And again, about a man who makes a difference to a town. I mean, Hermione, was that something which connected with yourself in terms of, obviously, we know that that's much beloved of Resonance Rewinders as a Christmas movie.
Well, you know what? I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. So in the beginning, when Batman had said, "Oh, well, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life," I was like, "Does this mean I'm like a Scrooge? I'm a Grinch? I'm like, I just have no regard for Christmas?" Like, I had a mini identity crisis. But I'm glad that he got to see it in the end with the taped version that he was given.
Yes, we of course see a pirate TV takeover by a Joker who's escaped from Arkham Asylum through, of course, a rocket-fueled Christmas tree that obviously jets through the whole process from this point of view. I mean, Jessica, is this whetting your appetite? And is it the frustration that you kind of are sort of so annoyed that you can't actually access the European Netflix to actually see this?
Yeah, no, I am really irritated because it sounds really interesting so far, especially with this being a bit more lighthearted, Batman. And I think the whole plot just sounds absolutely hilarious. I was only able to find like the title sequence of the show, so the animation style looks beautiful. I really wish I could find it. I'm gonna try to keep finding it. Maybe it'll get added to US Amazon Prime. But I would love to see the Joker blasting out of Arkham Asylum with a Christmas tree.
I mean, curiously, I think it was actually on Amazon Prime until relatively recently, and obviously Netflix decided that they're going to actually run with the whole thing. But let's not talk about corporate politics and other issues before, because before we know where we are, we'll be talking about Disney and other scenarios, etc. Again, that classic line, Bruce Wayne to Dick Grayson, of course, who in trying to actually get him to watch some television, "Come on, Bruce, you're going to love It's a Wonderful Life. It's not relentlessly cheerful, is it? No, it's about the difference one man can make to an entire city." Sound familiar? Of course, the whole system about that is shortly challenged when the Joker has escaped from Arkham Asylum. I got the sense, actually, in terms of the animation style, Jared, that it borrows a lot from German expressionism as well. I mean, it's clearly not realistic animation, but it is an animation which, again, carries with it a whole range of interesting aspects to the screen. What were your thoughts?
I think for me, the animation was probably ahead of its time in terms of like the actual design and the characters. I think for me, it did. I know that the animated series was originally supposed to be sort of a way to merchandise the Tim Burton films a little bit more, but for me, I think it does. I do see that expressionist feeling, but I also feel as if it also goes into a lot more. I think a combination between goth and sort of like dark, sort of like horror fantasy for me, but. For me, in terms of the designs, I thought they were, for its time, and it still is, pretty amazing. I think for the one thing of course, for DC when they had it at this time, was the animation style was miles ahead of anything that they had in Marvel or on TV. And I think for me, this is why the latest series, especially with Superman, the New Adventures, and of course Justice League and Batman Beyond, became a lot more popular because of the animated series, sort of divert those animation styles from it. And I would say for this episode, I do sort of like the sort of like going back into the Christmas Carol sort of feel, because I do see that, especially in the title scene and a bit towards the end as well, especially when like Joker's locked up, because you sort of go back into the old mental asylum sort of things from the Victorian era.
In terms of course, the way the narrative proceeds, we also have, I think it's three, possibly four mentions of Bah Humbug, a nice relationship with, of course, the original Christmas Carol scenario on that basis. Hermione, what did you make of the dysfunctional family of Commissioner Gordon, Harvey Bullock, and not sure whether it's, I don't think it's a relative of Commissioner Gordon, but obviously the female in distress in their candy cane gagged moments.
Well, first of all, when they first came up, I had to go back because I was like, did I miss something? I'm a bit confused. But then as it kept going, I was like, okay, I'll just, it's fine. I'll move past that. And as it like went on, obviously, it gave more context and everything. I would say for like a children's cartoon, well, obviously it's not just a children's cartoon, but what I can imagine was like mainly aimed at children. Them like being gagged with the candy canes and like hung over the tub of boiling liquid. I was like, this is a bit gory.
As I say, it's certainly the Dark Knight and the Dark Christmas Night. Harvey Bullock, of course, Commissioner Gordon, and Summer Gleeson. And as you rightly said, an awful lot is packed into 22 minutes of screen time. Before we actually start talking about favourite moments, let's turn to Anna once again. Anna, are you familiar with the character of the Batman, or is it a case of I'm from Romania, the only Batman we have is Dracula?
I actually realized that when I entered, I actually thought you were talking about
A
the
vampire.
movie Joker, not about the one on Netflix, because this one I watched. So I was a bit confused, but like after you started talking about it, I realized, wait, I did just watch this. I know the characters, I know everything. I watched the first and the second episode. I like them. They were easy to follow, and that actually is the first thing with Batman and Joker that I'm actually watching. I haven't even watched Harley Quinn, so I really enjoyed it and enjoyed watching them. But as for characters, if you were asking me, the most I liked Alfred from the first one, the butler, and I did like the commissioner, but not the detective at all, at all.
Now, I think it's fair to say Detective Harvey Bullock is very much a Marmite character. You either like him or you loathe him, and he certainly has emerged as a kind of counterpart to Commissioner Gordon's more standard police operative and indeed commissioner role on that basis. Let's talk favourite moments, though. Jared, I mean, as you've also intimated, of course, Anna can look forward to the Batman versus Dracula animated movie, which is almost a case of the USA goes up against Romania in the fictional fields, but that's another line entirely.
Well, I would say for me, I have two favorite moments. My first one was the bit in the on Gotham streets where Batman is about to take out this random male character who he thinks is going to steal from the old lady, but then he turns around and says, like, "Miss, you've forgotten something," which I thought was a really nice detail to put in because it shows that despite all the negative things that could happen, that would be like a nice thing to do for Christmas. And for me, I think it was a good idea to put it in because it kind of put Batman off guard a bit, especially for the episode later on in the episode. But I would say ultimately my favorite part in the episode was the bit where Batman gets the present and then it turns out it's a pie and then he gets pied in the face. That I thought was hilarious because for the one of the few times Joker didn't even want to kill Batman or absolutely just causing pain. He just wanted to do an innocent prank just to pie him in the face. And it's still funny to this day as a kid when I just saw it, like all that anticlimacticism, and then he just gets pied in the face. And I just can't help but laughing every time I see that. So I would say that is my favorite moment of the episode.
Yes, the fact that he'd actually tried to effectively wipe out an entire train of passengers and indeed create havoc amongst Gotham City is by the by. Ultimately, it was just a case of he wanted a bit of slapstick humour for the whole thing. Curiously, again, we see this re-emerging in the recently released Amazon Prime movie Merry Little Batman, which again I think is quite interesting in terms of the way it develops. Hermione, what about yourself in terms of favourite moments?
You know what? I would have to agree with you, Jared. I even had it written down here. My favorite part was when Batman, he had pulled Robin out of where they were, the Batcave. Am I right by saying the Batcave? Yeah. Thank you. I've got a thumbs up from Jared. He pulled Robin out of the Batcave to survey the streets of Gotham so that they could catch people if they were committing any crimes, just like not being nice. And then it was when he, the man who was coming up to the grandma, ran up to her, and Batman was ready to like stop him and like punch him one. And then he was like, "Wait, miss, you forgot your Christmas present. You dropped it a couple blocks back." She was like, "Oh, it's for my grandson." And then I think she like gave him a kiss, but it was like in a great aunt kind of style, like a really
Embarrassing
just
moment
like,
way, embarrassing
yeah,
relatives, a
unwanted
whole new
kiss. But
series.
yeah, that was definitely my favorite moment because it kind of just like solidified the fact that like, yeah, there's some people bad in the world, but there's also a lot of people that are just heartwarming.
Even in Gotham City, and especially on Christmas. Anna, did you have any favourite moments now we've identified the fact that you have seen this?
I think not favorite, but interesting and more, I don't know, funny to me or engaging was when he when the Joker hosted that, let's call it TV show with everyone, and how I think that was quite, I don't know, I read the review that says it was chilling and not humorous and absurd, but I mean, from what I have seen, the Joker's personality is absurd, especially after escaping from the asylum. So I think it was quite funny to me. And at the end, when they had that fight with Joker and Batman, and of course Batman wins, I thought that was quite nice because I always like to see the good one winning and the bad one going back and going back to the asylum. So I think I'm not gonna call them like favorite because I don't think I have a favorite moment in this episode, but they were quite interesting to me.
Yes, well, Bob Kane, I'm sure, will be very impressed with how his legacy continues to echo. Jessica, is this again further whetting your appetites to see how the Joker broadcasts a pirate Christmas special with Batman and Robin having until midnight, so they're against the clock, even in a 22-minute program, to actually fight their way past Joker's traps before they can rescue Commissioner Gordon, Harvey Bullock, and Summer Gleeson?
Yes, I feel like there's so, I feel like there's a bunch of scattered puzzle pieces with this episode. Like everything sounds so like crazy, and I don't know how it all fits together, but I'm happy to know that it does because there's so many elements going on all at once, and it honestly makes me more appreciative of those funnier Batman kind of shows because, like Jared was saying, now Batman is so gritty. I feel like Batman is always portrayed as being very emo and very gritty, and I think that it's nice that this is a more goofy, funny episode with the Joker. I mean, it's still dark, but it's also there's something a bit kooky about it, and it kind of make I was like rewatching Teen Titans recently, and it kind of has the same feeling about it as that. So I definitely want to see it.
According to the top review on IMDb, fantastically entertaining with super visuals. Wow, now I'm starting to see why people rave about this animated Batman series. A writer from 2007 actually writes, followed by the inauspicious debut of Batman's greatest villain. Favorite character, please, Hermione. Who was your favorite character in this particular episode?
I would have to say my favorite character was the guy who had picked up the grandma's present and gave it to her. Because I thought, you know, that's just a such a nice detail to add and such a kind thing to do.
So a special cameo line for the good possible teenage delinquent who effectively gets a kiss on his cheek for his trouble. Jared, Who are you going to go for? Are you opting for Mark Hamill as the Joker? Are you going for Mary Devon as Summer Gleason? Lauren Lester, of course, as the voice of Dick Grayson slash Robin. Clive Revel as Alfred, or Kevin Conroy as Batman?
I would say for me, I would have to do it. Mark Hamill's the Joker. I think he really stole the show in this episode. I would say if it was the previous episode, I would have chosen Harvey because he had a lot more role in it. And I think from the animated series and the new adventures, I do like this depiction of him. But for me, I would have to say it is the Joker for this episode. Mark Hamill stole the show. There's a lot of the Joker that I really did like, how he just does a lot of the destruction stuff and then he does the innocent gags. And I think for there, this is the version where, of course, the later incarnations the Joker would take from. So, of course, this and along with Jack Nicholson's Joker was the sort of like the before the Dark Knight for the Joker. So, I would say for me, it's my favorite character of this episode.
It's fair to say that before this, of course, the only major incarnations of the Joker on screen had been Cesar Romero in, of course, the Batman Adam West series in the 1960s, and then, of course, Jack Nicholson in the Tim Burton movie Batman. So you're quite right, I think, in many ways, setting the scene for the later, more psychotic manifestations of this anti-hero, well, not just anti-hero, but anti-Batman villain. And the nemesis of Batman very much to the fore there. Music, of course, I thought was interesting in terms of the way it's a sort of triple whammy of Michael McQuiston, Lolita Rittmanis, and Shirley Walker. We'll hear a whole suite from this particular episode towards the end of this particular Resonance Rewind. But how did you feel the music worked, Hermione? Did you feel it kind of was appropriate, or did you feel it was a bit overwhelming in terms of, it's a bit like a musical version of Charles Manson coming across?
No, I definitely thought it was definitely appropriate. I feel like, especially even in the beginning, the very first scene you see is like an explosion and it all starts with a bang. I feel like it just really pulled it all together and made it that much more dramatic, I would say. And it makes it even better than what it already was.
And Anna, any thoughts on the music from yourself?
I really liked it. It's appropriate, how you said, with the episodes, this one and the one from the previous episode. I liked it up until now.
Okay, so it seems to be getting thumbs up all around. We are at the stage now where we'll start putting those final scores together. Anna, what would you give this out of 10?
This particular episode, I'm going to give it a 7.5.
7.5. I might go for an 8.5 personally, so I'd move up slightly from that point of view. Hermione.
I would give it an 8 because I did enjoy it despite not necessarily always going for this type of thing, but I did enjoy it, so I would give it an 8.
Jared, you've identified a slight blooper from the whole thing insofar as there seem to be an absence of bullet holes. By the sniper, after, of course, the giant teddy, which was, of course, again a classic for its whole system, really. So that was problematic, no doubt.
Yeah,
Also,
so I was that.
carry on.
Yeah, well, I did notice that, and especially it's a bit interesting, especially when in Batman Beyond, Barbara noticed to Bruce about the amount of bullet holes the suits go through. So I'm like, what happened to the bullet holes in the game? But I do understand the decoy. He has been used in the comics for that, but it's just that then it comes back on, and then it should consistently have bullet-ridden holes in it.
Well, as you've already provided a possible link, which will enable Jessica to hopefully sort of check whether the hype is all worth it, what's your score going to be for this particular episode?
I would say for me, I'd give this one a 9. I really did enjoy the episode. I thought the plot was very good. I think looking back on it now, the plot does feel a bit darker, knowing that originally it wasn't supposed to be Commissioner Gordon, Burke, and Gleason. Joker was going to kidnap. He was going to kidnap a family. And also after reading The Killing Joke, when he kidnaps Gordon, I sort of see a little bit of the flashbacks from there where they get the inspiration from. And I think for me, especially, I did like the Batman and Robin's relationship in this episode. And I think for me, this was my favorite episode with the duo in. And especially as we later go on, we sort of see their relationship change a bit. And for me, I would also say that it does do an honorary work for like the creators. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Bob Kane about what he did to Bill Finger. And yeah, especially I just think that what this episode did for the animated series, it's very important as well. So I'll leave it at that.
For the benefit of people who are wondering, Bob Kane. Well, Bob Kane, of course, was the creator, writer of Batman. Bill Finger did a lot of the early artwork and connected, and they did sort of work together. But I think had a bit of a falling out, shall we say? Not quite a traumatic side. Still, I'm sure they'll have made it up now in whichever afterlife they're currently based in. As you say, Jared, of course, we had Dick Grayson as Robin, a Robin before he becomes jaundiced and becomes Nightwing and all the other characters which are there. And certainly this is before the Killing Joke, which we have reviewed in a previous edition of Resonance Rewind, in which, of course, Barbara Gordon suffers very much at the hands of the Joker. But there we are. Some interesting lines and crossovers from that particular factor. On that basis, I think it's fair to say that our Christmas episode of Batman the Animated Series is a winner. And if you're listening to this after Christmas, well, don't worry. It can be Christmas every day if you actually think about it, which is always good. And we can also save little old ladies' presents from falling if we wish to actually sort of give the spirit of Christmas along, which is pretty much where we come in with Scrooged, of course. And your own view, Jessica, that the final line of Bill Murray at the end of the movie was very much given to that whole side of things. A slight change in the running order next week, thanks to Phil Leonis, who sadly is a bit poorly today, but we send our best wishes to Phil. But we're actually moving the schedule around a little bit, which means that the festive episode of The Flash, I know Jessica's personal favourite superhero, will have to be put on ice to a certain extent, because we're going to go down the line of Pierce Brosnan and James Bond, and we'll be taking Bond for the Christmas and or New Year period, we'll be welcoming him into GoldenEye. For now, though, before we actually hear more of the music from Batman the Animated Series to Jared Palmer, Hermione Araclete, Jessica Burtis and Anna Coscunnell, huge bat thanks, and have a very merry bat Christmas, and of course keep on resonating.
It was nice of Commissioner Gordon to give you that recording of It's a Wonderful Life.
And it is a wonderful life.
It has its moments.
Don we now a gay apparel? Fa la 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 la.
Thank you. We'll be right back.